Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie, it's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, it's pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on the New Orleans Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Welcome to another edition of Locked On Pelicans. I'm your host, Jake Madison, at NolaJake on Twitter. Also a writer over at bourbonstreetshots.com, where you can check out a lot of great Pelicans analysis. Coming to you on this Martin Luther King Day, a game day. This is always one of my favorite days of the year for NBA basketball. It's really nice. They play a lot of games, especially early. The Pelicans, if you don't know, tip off at 3 p.m. Central Time. So keep an eye on that one. It might happen while you're still at work. They used to play home games on this day, and it's great because a lot of kids have off for school. You need those kids something, you know, give them something to do. An NBA game is a great way to, you know, get them out of the house, get them involved in different things. So it's always a lot of fun. But the Pelicans play in Indiana at the Pacers, who's going to be kind of a mad, angry Pacers team, which probably doesn't bode well for the Pelicans. So we're going to preview that here for you on Locked On Pelicans today. Also recap the Bulls loss. That's a bit of a disappointing one. Bit is probably a heck of an understatement. It's a very disappointing loss as the Pelicans, you know, try and stay in this playoff contention for the eighth seed. They're now currently 11th in the West, a game and a half back of the Portland Trail Blazers for the eighth seed. I'm going to recap that Bulls loss, why it dropped them, what happened there. There's very clearly something that went wrong, and it's pretty obvious if you watch the game or looked at the box score, either one. I want to talk a little bit about that fight for the eighth seed. Might save that for tomorrow, though. We'll see. And then preview the Pacers game for you. Get this one out. I know it's a little late. Dog had surgery, so I've been taking care of her. So it's kind of upended my whole schedule. But we'll be back. I can start recording these in advance for the rest of the week. So it'll come back to you at 6 in the morning. There we go. I got it right. The rest of the week. So the 107-99 loss to the Bulls on the road, disappointing. There's a few things in play. I want to kind of dispel one notion here. I had a bunch of my followers and friends ask me if I thought the early start time messed with the Pelicans. It tipped off at 4 p.m. Central, when usually this game would tip be in Central time at 7 o'clock. Saturday games, which this was, are usually tip at 6, at least here in New Orleans. So I'm going to assume it's kind of the same league-wide. They tip at 6. Sunday games tip at 5. A weeknight game, Monday through Friday, tips at 7. So if this was a Saturday game here in New Orleans, it probably would have tipped off at 6 o'clock. So it's a two-hour difference. They're professional athletes. If we really want to look for excuses, yeah, maybe you can point at that. But, I mean, that's just a crappy argument. Frankly, you know, a two-hour difference isn't going to be the, you know, it doesn't cause an eight-point defeat. Let's put it that way. I think that's stupid logic, and that shouldn't even be said. So a lot of my friends asked me about that one. A lot of people were tweeting at me about it. No, I don't think it's a factor. The main reason the Pelicans lost this game to a Bulls team, which was very winnable, and they were on this road trip needing to win as many of these games as possible, and they've picked up good wins against New York, against Brooklyn without Anthony Davis, but they really, you know, wanted this one as well to kind of, you know, right now they're 2-2 on this road trip with losses to the Bulls and Boston, wins over New York and Brooklyn. And now they have Pacers and I guess the rubber match of this 5-game road trip here. You got to win that one. That way, if you win it, you're 3-2 on this road trip. You're 3-3 in the last 6. And at least you kind of are treading water, but you're starting to lose some ground to the Trailblazers, who are now healthy and playing quite well. A lot of people wrote them off earlier. They just needed to get healthy. Evan Turner didn't tank their team that much. But the main reason the Pelicans lost this Bulls game is, frankly, rebounding. Pels had 42 total rebounds on the night, 36 defensive. The Chicago Bulls had 63 rebounds, 42 defensive, 21 offensive. Bad. That is exceptionally bad. So on the night, you know what I always say? I like the Pelicans to have a defensive rebounding percentage close to 80. I think if they want to try and win games, especially with the small ball lineup where they need to work extra hard, they posted a 63.2 defensive rebounding percentage. Gross. Even worse, well, the flip side of it, obviously, the math has to equal 100%. 36.8% is the offensive rebound percentage that the Chicago Bulls put up. Robin Lopez grabbed 23.1% of available offensive rebounds when he was out there. He actually finished 9 on the night. He had 10 rebounds total. Robin Lopez, former Hornet, former New Orleans player, Robin Lopez, had 10 rebounds on the night. 9 were offensive. And this isn't even an issue with the small ball lineup either. The Pelicans did trot out, you know, a bit of a different lineup here. Maybe they were worried about it. They started Solomon Hill, Terrence Jones, Anthony Davis, Buddy Hield, Drew Holiday. So in comes Jones, out goes Cunningham, who was out of the starting lineup against Brooklyn, but AD was out. You figured maybe they'd go back to that lineup, the small ball lineup, but not the case. Of those 9 offensive rebounds that Robin Lopez had, you can watch them on NBA.com. You don't even need special stat privileges or anything like that. You can just straight go and watch them. You can click on it in the box score and look at them all. Do that. Watch how many of those offensive rebounds he grabs over Anthony Davis. Davis isn't even putting arms out. He's out of position a little bit. Lopez, it didn't even look like he was working hard for these offensive boards. He just kind of grabbed them. If you want to commit to small ball, or maybe not even small ball, but Anthony Davis being your center, really, if you play him with a power forward like Terrence Jones or Monta Ellis out there, you do need to commit to defensive rebounding. The Pelicans' defense has been good this year, but I think a lot of that is not that they're an elite defensive team, but they can get some stops here and there. If you want to be an elite defensive team, grab defensive boards. Don't give up 21 second-chance opportunities on the night. You know, it's you're not going to win games that way. You're not going to do well. And it's the Chicago had 21 second-chance points because of it. And this is what lost them the game. Frankly, it's you can just almost be as simple and pointed at that. Yeah, Davis, you know, had 36 and 14, 11 defensive boards, but he could have had so many more, and he needed to get so many more if they wanted to win. And it's a shame this is all on him. It shouldn't have to be. But again, Solomon Hill, not a great defensive rebounder. Terrence Jones is not a great defensive rebounder. Monta Ellis, we haven't seen enough of. He only played 7 minutes. When you're getting out there killed on the offensive glass or defensive glass, whatever side you want to call it, why not put him in and see if he's more effective than the other guys? Because they weren't, again, the other guys weren't effective. It's one of those things that Alvin Gentry makes you wonder about his rotations at times and who he's given minutes to. People fall out of favor and get in the doghouse in just an instant when maybe they'd be useful right here. I'm not saying play Omer Asik, but you signed Monta Ellis. You may as well throw him out there for more than 7 minutes. He's looked good in the limited time he's played here with the team. So it's just disappointing to see. Overall, it's a waste of a game. The Pelicans could have won this. If you take it half, cut in half those 21 second chance points, give them 11. It's a 10-point swing. All of a sudden, Pelicans win, potentially. And it's an entirely different thing. And of course, that's very hypothetical. But, you know, you get enough points from other people. Solomon Hill scored 10. Etwan Moore scored 16. He finally kind of woke up, was 4-5 from 3. Tyreke Evans put in 14. Drew Holiday and Buddy Hield combined for 3 points as the starting backcourt. That's not good overall. But, you know, again, you got enough points. 99 for the Pels. They can win if they get near that. And if also you cut some of those offensive rebounds down, Pelicans probably have a few more possessions in them. The pace was kind of slow in this one-ish at times because of all those offensive rebounds. So, you know, you get more possessions for the Pelicans. They can score a little bit more. It's just kind of all around. You have to wonder why a change wasn't made to give Monta Ellis more time or something else when clearly this was the issue the entire game was the rebounding. There was no excuse for this. You know, the Pelicans kind of did everything else right. They only had 11 turnovers. They didn't let Chicago take advantage of turnovers, you know, and yet still they get down by 15 at one point. And it shows this roster isn't there yet. You need another player. They're definitely another player away from really being a contender for the playoffs. Not even a championship contender, but just for the playoffs consistently. You should start hearing Paul Millsap's name probably coming up again and again or other trade targets. We'll get closer to that or we'll talk about that more as we get closer to the trade deadline. But this game was rebounding. you didn't have the guys to do it. You have one guy in Anthony Davis, and Robin Lopez beat him consistently to the tune of 9 offensive boards. Yeah, the Pelicans probably don't deserve to win this game, and if they continue to play like this, they don't deserve to be in the playoffs. But hey, it's not too bad. They're going to get another chance to prove themselves tonight in the Indiana Pacers. We're going to preview that one here, talk about how they can win, what they need to do. The Pacers got thumped in London. I think they Denver put up 140 on them, so they're going to be kind of angry, be a little bit rested now that they're back. They've been back for a few days. So this is going to be a tough challenge for the Pelicans. Before we do that, don't forget Locked On Pelicans is available on iTunes, on Audioboom, on any podcast app you use or listen to. And that's going to be the best way to find it all. It's on Twitter at Locked On Pels. There's actually a Facebook page if you want to like it. That would be a wonderful thing. It's Locked On Pelicans. So we're all out there. It's part of the larger Locked On Podcast Network, where if you're an NFL fan, an NBA fan, whatever team you root for, there's a podcast to that coming 5 days a week. It's the only network, you know, podcasts that are really coming at you this in-depth with this type of news and analysis on a daily basis. It allows us to kind of react to things in real time almost, and it's a great tool to make you a smarter sports fan for whatever sport it is and whatever team you root for. So make sure you're subscribed to Locked On Pelicans on iTunes or Audioboom, however you do it, so you make sure that you get the podcast when they come out, usually at 6 a.m., a little bit late today, right away. So to end the road trip, the Pelicans play the Pacers today at 3 p.m. on the Martin Luther King Day, which is pretty awesome, like I said, from the reasons in the beginning. But so the Pacers team, they already lost to New Orleans in New Orleans in an overtime game where the Pelicans played pretty well, managed to eke out a win. Like I said, overtime, it was close. The Pels need this one for this road trip to be considered a success. I think the loss to the Bulls probably hurts it. 4-1 is much, much better than 3-2. But this is a winnable game. You know, the Pacers were in London where they got thumped by Denver. I think Denver put up 140 against them. So you have to figure they want to come out firing and are going to be a little angry and try and get a win on their home court where they're pretty good this year. Though on the season, they're barely above 500 with a 20-19 record, fifth in the Eastern Conference. So the Pelicans can win this game because this team kind of plays into their strengths a little bit. The Pacers are more of a mid-range team. They're not going to go inside. They don't bomb it from three, which for the Pelicans, after you struggle to rebound against the Bulls, is a good thing. If they don't have multiple guys in the paint, that should make it okay, to make it a little bit easier, more room to operate and grab those defensive boards. They don't need to worry too much about the three-point shots. So you can sag off, which helps too, to grab those longer rebounds. So the Pacers are going to have a lot of guys inside the three-point line looking for mid-range shots, and the Pelicans can beat that. This is still a good team, though, because they do have a lot of talent on the roster. Paul George is still Paul George, one of the better small forwards in the league. Jeff Teague, he's been lighting it up for him at times. So I'm a fantasy team, dishing out assists and scoring quite well. So the Pelicans need to be stout on the perimeter to prevent drives. Paul George can hit threes. Jeff Teague can hit threes. That's about it, really. Teague's going to want to drive into the paint. So will Paul George. No one else really will. You're going to need Jrue Holiday to be stout on Teague. And you're going to need a combination of Dante Cunningham and Solomon Hill and Anthony Davis, really, to make sure they're switching right onto Paul George to deny him the looks that he wants. You figure they're going to probably go back to the small ball lineup again today against the Pacers. Terrence Jones and Anthony Davis, that hasn't worked like all year, yet it started the other night. You figure Cunningham's going to be back in there in the small ball lineup. You know, if Thaddeus Young starts it, it power forward for Indiana. And again, he's not that great. They can handle him. You don't need to have Davis or Terrence Jones out there. You can put the smaller Dante Cunningham out there, and he should be fine since he's a little bit quicker than Jones is. So, you know, it ends the five-game road trip. The Pelicans really need this one before they get back at home in another winnable game against Orlando. They are a game and a half out of the eighth seed. It's going to be key. You got to keep up. The Portland's going to get kind of hot. They could end up kind of putting this thing out of reach by the end of the month or the middle of next month. Pelicans can't have that, especially if they want the fan support to continue on. You know, we're going to talk more about trades coming up, but I think they're kind of still trying to figure out, are they Is there a realistic chance for this 8 seed? Are they kind of pretenders for the 8 seed? And that's kind of paralyzing them into not making a move just yet. But the first domino fell with Korver being traded. So, you know, you have to figure if a move is coming. It's going to be coming kind of soon, and we'll see. So thank you for listening to Locked On Pelicans today. I'm your host, Jake Madison, at Nola Jake on Twitter. Enjoy the holiday if you're off. That's always a nice thing. Get to just relax, watch some midday basketball. You get this like twice a year in the NBA, really, when you're off of work and there's basketball on during the week. It's a Christmas day if Christmas is on a weekday, and pretty much today if not. So always a fun thing to get and to be able to watch. So enjoy the game. Hopefully the Pels can get a win. I'll be back with you guys tomorrow at 6 a.m. recapping that. Probably talking some trades, Millsap, other things like that. I think that'll be a fun one. The race for the eighth seed. Why this is much more difficult than it was 2 years ago. But hey, if the Pels get the win, maybe it makes it a little bit easier. So thank you all for listening, and I'll be back with you guys tomorrow.